Hello, friends, and welcome to the most glorious of events, the Movie Mavericks Podcast. This outstanding program is hosted by two fine gentlemen, Jason and Trevor. Now make it so.
MovieMavericks.com.
Mother.
What do they want?
They've come here to see me.
Hello.
Hello.
What are any of us doing here?
You did this!
God help you.
Baywatch.
Hey, Steph.
Hey.
New Kids on the Block here is from Iowa.
Oh, man.
Really?
Let me ask you this. A lot of oceans in Iowa?
No, just ponds and lakes and cocky pretty boys. Hey, Mitch, what happened to that last pretty boy recruit we had?
He died.
What is this, lifeguard hazing? I'm Matt Brody. Hold the world record in the 200 meter.
Hey!
Matt Brody.
Matt Brody! Yes, absolutely. And we still
don't give up.
Fast and Furious 8.
They are going to be hitting us with everything they got.
Oh, damn!
I chose you for this squad because you are the most fearsome warriors on the planet. You do your job and you take them down. Now saddle up and save the entire damn world.
Fire!
All right, welcome to a special episode of the Movie Mavericks Podcast. I'm Trevor Anderson. Send you over to Jason Rugard. He will tell us what all these movies have in common.
Well, these are three of which we think are amongst the worst films of 2017. This is our annual review of the low points of the movie-going year and a special edition. This is our seventh time we've done one of these worst-of episodes.
Did you say anal review?
It could be, because I feel like I was...
Because mine is, you know, that whole area of mine is not up to snuff yet. I wouldn't want that reviewed yet.
I just think that this was almost as painful as anything of the sort. And regardless... As in the past year, our lists aren't comprised of these little art house pictures that failed on a small level. We're looking at big films with big stars that failed in a big way. Hmm. Trevor, are we going to go – are we going to count down? Let's do dishonorable mentions.
Let's do some – I like that. Dishonorable mentions. That's what I say, yes. I'll throw one out there. I got snatched.
Yeah, I didn't like this comedy at all. I thought with those two – female characters, particularly Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer.
Train wreck, you know, I really had high expectations for this.
I found one scene to be funny, and it was the scene in the trailer when she was washing herself in the bathroom and got caught when the door opened. That was pretty much the only laugh, and I thought this movie got way too serious and action-oriented. It felt out of place in this movie. I didn't like it at all.
Yeah, it didn't work, but, you know, rather not the worst to be on the top 10, but... Well, I don't know. Maybe on yours. No, maybe. I don't know.
Make my top 10, but I'm going to throw out a dishonorable mention, and mine is The Mummy, Tom Cruise's blockbuster that wasn't.
That didn't make it on your top 10?
Well,
I'm interested to hear your top 10. Yeah.
This was a year of fuck-ups as far as I'm concerned. And I don't think it was as bad as, let's say, the last Jack Reacher movie, but I'm glad that we have American Made because that really did kind of resurrect him in my eyes a little bit. I thought two bad movies in a row was not a good look. What else you got on your honorable list?
I put Bad Moms Christmas on there. It was an underwhelming, I guess, is what I would say the most for it. But I really find these Bad Moms movies to be just written terribly. And I don't know, in a year of just kind of bad or mediocre comedies, there's a lot of them that like this. It just kind of not so bad to make a top 10 list, but you know, this is definitely something I will never be watching again.
I struggled with this one because I found it just as bad as Daddy's Home 2, which I know you like.
I like that one, though.
Yeah, when we reviewed that. And I found these movies interchangeable on almost every level with the parents and the issues with the parents and coming around and screwing everything up. And I didn't find much to enjoy out of both of them. I think I like Daddy's Home 2 like marginally better. But both of these could have made my list, but they didn't. I'm glad you
– But you have to admit that – the heater scene or the
yeah, that was good. There's some
bits
in Daddy's Home.
That's a fantastic scene in Daddy's Home too.
I liked that sequence and the physical comedy and the light sequence. Maybe I have a feeling that Daddy's Home might grow on me when I see
John Lithgow is just so hilarious, and so is Mel Gibson. They're cast so perfectly. I don't know. I agree with you that movie is not all that it should have been, but it's in my opinion far better than Bad Moms.
I would say marginally better, but I do think that there are a couple scenes in Daddy's Home that at least make it worthwhile. And like I said, I think on cable it'll probably play a lot better, so I may come to it different when they show it on loops on TNT in the future.
Exactly.
I'm sure.
Well, it's not a good idea to be coming in theater anyway, so.
Not unless you're Pee-wee Herman. I'm going to throw out another one that I was really disappointed by, and that's Alien Covenant. This was a movie that was a follow-up to Prometheus, something I was lukewarm on, and really didn't care for this
one. I just
one.
Don't know at this point what to expect on your top 10 list then, because you're hitting some shit that's actually on mine, and I'm a little... I feel like I missed some movies, maybe.
Maybe you did.
Maybe I didn't look hard enough. All right, fair enough. I'll agree on that one. I got The Great Wall on mine as well. I thought that was an incredibly stupid movie, I guess is the only thing you could say.
All right. I have one last dishonorable mention before we get to the official list, and that would be Sleepless.
You only have one more?
Yeah, I got the Jamie Foxx lack of an action thriller. I mean, they build it as an action thriller, but talk about a small movie. This took place on one cheap set, an interior casino cassette, and I'm done with Jamie Foxx being too cool for school. There is a talented actor in there somewhere who had range and diversity. I mean, you saw it in an array of things. The last time I saw it pop up was in The Soloist, but ever since he won that Oscar and went into the Miami Vice leading man kind of stuff, he has not been able to pull himself out. Even in Django Unchained, I found him to be a little obnoxious at times. Here, he's a great actor. I wish he could get back to making great movies, because this is not the kind of stuff he needs to be in.
Well, I'd agree with you. I don't think that was that bad. But just for that, I'm going to throw out I'll throw out my last three here. I'm going to hit you with the last XXX movie, which I know you liked, but it's dog
shit. I did
shit.
Like that.
Sorry.
It is. Yeah, it's bad.
It's dog shit. I'm also going to throw out Ghost in the Shell, which is dog shit. And I'm going to throw out another comedy, Rough Night, dog shit.
I can't defend any of those movies, and I could see why they could end up on anyone's worst of the year list. But the fact that they just made your dishonorable mentions, I'm kind of curious about your list, too.
I know, so, right? Well, let's be honest. I think we're going to find out 2017 is a pretty bad year in movies.
This is what I realized. And I hate making that statement because we sound so cynical. We see a lot of, between the two of us, we see close to, I would say, 200 movies a year.
Hey, let's be fair. I got 15 movies on the worst list. Like, I did do have 14 movies on my best list, but, you know, worst and best of, when we do best of next episode, I don't know. I feel like this last year tended to be worse than best.
You know? To me, the strange thing about this last year in summing it up would be to make my best of list, I realized that blockbuster filmmaking in a lot of ways really came through for me last year. I thought I was done with a lot of superhero stuff, with a lot of big budget stuff. But at the same time, interesting movies that were Amazon
releases.
But
it also failed, didn't it?
In a lot of ways.
We'll go through our list here, but I agree.
Well, let's start off with the 10th spot, and I'll go first here. The 10th for me, the 10th worst film of the year was Jigsaw. The attempted reboot of this franchise that was neither inventive, scary, or visually interesting. It was very flatly done all the way through with disconcertible cast members that you couldn't care less about. And I'm just done. I mean, this is such an antiquated thing, this torture porn genre. And we're not that far removed from it, the height of it, which is strange now that it feels so pat and just... patronizing in a lot of ways. I really didn't enjoy it. It's almost you're just waiting for the kills, and even the kills weren't good in this one. So it's hard to say, but I really didn't like this movie. I found it insultingly bad. What's on your 10th
spot? Fair enough. Well, a movie that insulted me was King Arthur, Legend of the Sword. I know you liked it, but...
I kind of liked it.
It's dog shit, man.
I can't defend it,
It is not a good movie. I found it to be incredibly boring, and in that just that Guy Ritchie style, I'm not a huge fan of by any means whatsoever. And I don't know. It does not do a good job of setting up that mystical, mythical world of King Arthur, and it just feels like a made for sci-fi TV movie, really, all the way from the writing, you know, all the way up to the action and special effects. It's just a giant cheese fest, and not in a good way.
I can say that when that movie started, for the first 10 minutes, I felt like I was in the middle of I felt like I walked in. I was like, I had to check the showtime, to be honest with you. I arrived a little bit late. I arrived right as the Warner Brothers logo was going down. So I thought, oh, this is the beginning. And it starts, and I thought, shit, did I misunderstand this? Is this like we 20 minutes into it? Because there's no exposition. It just starts and you're in the middle of this battle, and I'm just the movie is schizophrenic, and a lot of Guy Ritchie movies are like that, so we should come to expect that by now. I don't think he's had a successful movie in a long time in filmmaking style, because he's so locked into this one type of movie he makes, then it's just not – I don't like how he does it. I mean, whether it's The Man from U.N.C.L.E., whether it's Sherlock Holmes, whether it's this, mm-hmm. he can't use the same technique to tell every story. It just doesn't work. Even Tarantino changes up his style.
We will see what Aladdin turns out like, because that's going to be interesting.
If that ever actually hits the big screen. Oh, they are filming that. So yeah,
it's in post-production.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. You're right. So that should be interesting.
All right. What's your number nine?
My number nine is a movie that you told me to go see. You raved about it to me, and I went and saw it, and I couldn't stay
awake.
That
could be many movies. So
it's Valerian.
It. Oh, whatever. I've seen it twice now. Loved it.
It's a shot in your heart, but I couldn't make heads or tails of this movie for the first 15 minutes. And then when I did realize what it was about, I was bored for the rest of the 2 hours it ran on. This was a 2-hour and 20-minute absolute bore for me. Visually beautiful at times. I have to give Luc Besson credit. I hated the cast. Clara Devine, or is that her name? She makes an interesting person to look at, but she's mannequin-esque in her delivery. And overall, I just didn't think that this was really, Ethan Hawke shows up for 3 minutes, and that was the most interesting part of the movie to me. I was upset when they killed his character off so quickly. Really was a disappointing boring experience. Yeah, well, if you haven't seen it by now, you will be.
It's on Amazon, everybody. Go ahead and watch it.
Or don't, and save yourself 2 hours
and
20 minutes.
Do it. Ah, it's free. All right, next my number you. Nine it has got to be Alexander Payne's Downsizing, which was just such a disappointment for what that movie could have been, and really seeing that trailer in that very 90s feel, and then the movie has nothing to do with the trailer, and it's just stupid. It's just nothing. It's nothing. Nothing movie. Nothing happens. Boring. Stupid. I don't know what I could say about it other than that.
I believe that's the movie that Matt Damon chose over Manchester by the Sea. I haven't, because everyone I was
really
planning to go see
really
this, and
bad.
Everyone says bad things. Yeah.
Yeah, just really underwhelming. And just a fantastic premise. Great idea. Incredibly poor execution. Just really bad script ideas and choices and stuff. Yeah.
I'm surprised that Alexander Payne missed this big, because he usually does something that's at least watchable. But from all accounts, this is atrocious. So I'm going to move on and give you my number eight pick of the year. For me, it was The Great Wall, something that just got you a dishonorable mention on your side. But for me, was an absolute just a shit movie. This was that. I mean, this was at the beginning of the year. I couldn't believe what I was watching here. It has no it's so predictable and cliche. How could this be a hit anywhere? It's just insulting to Chinese audiences, which is primarily made for. It's insulting to audiences of
it's
any.
It's apparently made for.
Isn't it a Chinese production that they put an American
right,
actor?
Yeah, no.
So it's like, it's a strange thing.
It's apparently made for them. We don't know who the fuck it's made for, really.
Well, I don't care if you're Russian, Chinese, what the fuck you are, but you're not going to get any enjoyment out of this movie. It's a pile of shit. It really is bad. We talk about a sci-fi production, run amok.
Yeah, that's really bad. And that's your number eight, right?
Yeah.
So you're already into the really bad stuff. For me, really, my number six and in my honorable mentions are kind of a muddled mess of just all being about as bad. And really, I don't know, they're bad, but they don't necessarily bother me to the degree that my top five do.
Well, I mean, if you're eating a shit sandwich, it all tastes the same. So, I mean, just
you can't tell the difference between the first and the next. All right, well, my number eight, and I believe you'll appreciate this, is the crap fest that was Baywatch.
Mm-hmm.
God, Dwayne Johnson, you know, I do think he's a fantastic presence on the screen. I do like him. He can be funny, but just don't rest your entire movie on him being a comedian, because it ain't going to work out. Same I will say for Zac Efron and the rest of the cast, which I like on their own. But in this movie, you know, there's just really not enough for this movie to rest on. It can't decide if it's a comedy or an off-the-wall action film. And it's just silly stupidness that in the end just does nothing and really has no resemblance, and I guess a lot of things don't when they do these remakes, to the original.
Yeah, this is a movie that is a comedy yet has no comedians. Dwayne Johnson is not a comedian. Zac Efron is not a comedian. They've been in movies with comedians that have been funny.
And they're fine as those side guys and kind of like here and there. And they're funny. And they have, I think they have a lot of zany and like hyper kind of a presence and stuff. So they can be humorous, but I got to agree with you in your initial review of this as well, that just they're not comedians. They're really not that funny.
And they're left to they're hung out to dry with a bad script, a movie that looks like it was edited after the fact to make it into something a little bit more, a villain that is uninteresting. It just the whole thing was so misguided. I think that we'll see it later on down the list for me. All right, so what are we on, number eight? No, I'm on seven, right? Seven. Oh, my goodness, we are going fast here. Seven is going to hurt you as well because I put Blade Runner 2049.
Oh,
and I got to admit that, look, it's a better movie than The Great Wall and Valerian and other movies on this list. My problem going into it was such a beautiful bore that I came to resent it as I was watching it. And I want to watch it again.
Well, it did win Best Cinematography.
It looks – I mean, it's gorgeous, and there are moments in it that work. But by the end of it, I just felt exhausted and wrung out and slightly confused.
I know, and that was great.
I didn't appreciate the experience at all, and for that, it goes on my worst of really a disappointment more than anything.
Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later next episode.
Oh, okay. He's a little look into Trevor's list there.
My number seven is The Mummy. I don't really know what more to say after you've already slaughtered it both here and in reviews. If we both reviewed this earlier or last year. God awful movie. I really just thought Tom Cruise is terrible in it. They just waste Sofia Boutella in it as the mummy. Russell Crowe is ridiculous in this movie. Talk about someone who just is falling down a hole. There's Russell Crowe. God, terribly written. Makes sense, right?
It doesn't set up the world that it's trying to create. It's my problem. It's just...
These Universal movies have been unsuccessful in doing that time and time again. I think they had a better shot when Stephen Sommers was attempting to do this, decade or longer than that ago? 15 years ago? I don't know, but they've been trying to reboot these for a while and just... I don't know. It fails every single time. This is just a stupid movie. It's just poorly written. It's just dumb. It reminds me of kind of a Transformers movie or any of your basic blockbuster crap, which, Alex Kurtzman is the director here. David Co-op, of course, wrote it. And you have other people like Christopher McQuarrie and shit. But these guys are kind of, in my opinion, a little old hat at this point, aren't they?
It's just not as vibrant as they think it is. This is a movie that's very confused.
Saying.
Totally,
exactly.
It didn't know what it was doing. It didn't have a rhythm at all. At least the Summers one, Stephen Summers.
That'd be
at
good. I watched that.
Yeah, right. at least those had an attitude and kind of a Saturday afternoon matinee
even Van Helsing.
Spirit.
Yeah.
So they had a tone that they at least stayed true to, whether you liked it or not, and they got diminishingly. Returns on that as far as lab quality, but regardless, they had a style, and this movie is a Mission Impossible mashup with this mummy situation, and there are scenes that I've never seen a star vehicle so confused. It really is a confused star vehicle because it doesn't know if it's a horror movie or
it even
or
messes
a Cruise
up
movie.
the basic Tom Cruise character. It even while it's there, it even screws that up. The guy who's kind of a dutz, but he's still awesome at the same time, and he's kind of a fish out of water almost in some situation of what he's doing, but he's really good at other things, and he's really lucky, or he just really goes for it. He's Tom Cruise, and this movie even he feels. So out of place from all the other characters and from what else is going on. It goes from super dark to like Tom Cruise is a lovely goofball. Don't you love him? It's just weird. Not very good. There it does.
I know. It's bizarre. I saw it in a theater. I had a hard time staying awake. It was good for air conditioning on a hot June day. That's about it. Okay. I guess this is my sixth spot. And in that, I'm going to put Baywatch. I'm going to slot it in. Ooh. You've said already, you've already beat this horse to death.
Hit it.
Nothing to be said further. Just an awful, awful movie. So having said that, I'm going to jump right into number five and give you another Dwayne Johnson bad movie, Fast 8, the series that refuses to go away. And it's your fault out there. You guys made this a huge hit worldwide, over $1 billion. Of course, there'll be a 9, 10, 11. And this is the kind of shit that gets them real big paychecks, but does nothing for the moviegoer. You go see this movie, and it's just fury and noise. It really is. We've gone so far away from anything resembling entertainment. I don't understand what the value is here. It has one interesting sequence, maybe two. The car chase in New York with all the robotic cars and Jason Statham going through the airplane, kicking the shit out of people while he's protecting the baby. Outside of that, this movie is so cliched. It is ripping itself off. We're going around in circles here. I don't know what the attraction is. I saw it in theater, so I'm just as guilty as everyone else, but horrible movie. What's your five spot?
Well, let me hit my number six first, because that was the Fate of the Furious.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
So not surprising, but I got to agree with you on that. I really hate what this franchise is doing to the secondary characters. And realistically, losing Paul Walker, I think has been put this really brought down the franchise in general. Just it's lost a lot of personality, you know, to have all that weight now on Vin Diesel and again, Dwayne Johnson. And now you're going to bring in Jason Statham. Those guys are all very similar characters. They're all kind of dark. They're all kind of big and muscly and broody, and they all want to be tough guys, and they all talk like this, you know. But Paul Walker was kind of the normal guy. He was the everybody. He was your introduction into the world of Fast and Furious.
He's our entry.
And now with him
sure.
being gone, well, now I have no one to connect with anymore.
Well, they tried to throw Scott Eastwood. They threw Scott Eastwood in there, but when The Rock picks him up and turns him sideways on a building, it totally just makes that character small and inconsequential. I thought that was such a bad idea, and just this movie's full of bad ideas. It really is. We've gone so far away from a group of guys stealing DVD players in LA that now they are running over icebergs in Siberia. It literally has come to that.
I agree. If you look at like ensemble pieces, you can clearly see, for me anyways, this is doing it wrong. Mission Impossible, doing it right.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that.
All right. My number five was Transformers Last Night, a movie that just, you know, is Michael Bay even actually directing? I think there's just like a Michael Bay playbook that he puts together and he just throws it to the second AD maybe. I don't know. It feels like his heart is just not in these movies anymore, but his style is. So if you like the style of Michael Bay, I guess it's here, but the movie is a terrible mess. There was an issue, right, in the late 2000s with these big Hollywood movies right around, well, I guess maybe a little before that, but around the Transformers movies and even the start of the Marvel stuff, where these movies got so big that it was really hard to find directors who could wrap their head around the whole thing or that would put in the time to do that. And I think that Transformers Last Night works much the way that those movies do, where it's just you're not paying attention. It was kind of like The Mummy as well had that problem, where you're just not paying attention to the whole story, to how things are going to play out. It gets really boring. It gets really messy. It gets very confusing. Mark Wahlberg is whiny. If you direct Mark Wahlberg and it's not a comedy, make sure he's not being whiny, because I can't handle it.
Man, this is I gotta agree. This is number four for me, so I'm glad you brought this one up, because this is – it could have easily been number one, and that spot's safe for a special place, but for a special movie that deserves a burn.
Yeah, so is mine.
This is honestly, to me – I have defended Michael Bay. You're a fan of Michael Bay.
I love Michael Bay. I love the style of this movie. You have to admit the Michael Bay style is still here.
I can't defend the man anymore. And like you said in your original review of this, he may be the only one that can explain to you what in the hell is going on in this movie. It is so all over the place. I've seen all of the Transformers movies. I have a very good recollection of what is happening in this little universe for whatever reason. And in this movie, I am so lost. and do not care. It makes the last one, what was that, The Age of Extinction, which is a 3-hour
which is a terrible movie,
yeah,
as well.
3-hour just, it's so, it's almost psychedelic, and it's just it rambling and in non-connective tissue. But this one tries to be a little bit more focused by bringing in the girl, and it really feels like a competing storylines of things going on, and it feels soap opera-ish.
It does nothing with that.
It's honestly the cheapest looking of all of them as well. I was really kind of amazed when I saw this, how ho-hum everything's gotten.
You have to admit, it's incredible that there are now two Transformers movies that are easily and arguably, undoubtedly worse than Transformers 2.
Oh, yeah.
How is that possible?
I know. And you forget how good those first ones are. We're missing... Yeah,
the first three are fantastic movies.
You're missing
really,
the humor that
the
Shia LaBeouf's parents characters brought, Kevin Dunn and whatnot. And so there's really, talk about no entry point. There's no person to relate to. There's nothing on screen. It does nothing for children's creative imagination to see this kind of shit.
It does nothing for me, yeah.
It really, it's a dead zone. So
and
I,
you had
I
Anthony
just,
Hopkins. I mean, the cast is fantastic in this.
Everybody's paying off mortgages. That's all this is. This is a total. It's a waste of Michael Bay's talent and time. And I just wish
that's
he would.
That's what I'm saying,
move on.
Right? You gotta think that this is kind of the ridiculous film set where Michael Bay is sitting there, right, just counting his money, right, and just like, yeah, not even looking at what's going on. Just action cut. Yeah, it's fine. Whatever.
It makes you appreciate Pain and Gain in 13 Hours a little bit more.
Yeah, Pain and Gain's pretty good.
All right, so we're at number three, huh? Oh man, we're
What are we doing?
You got number four?
What did I just do? I didn't do number four.
Give me your number four. What do you got there?
My number four is Justice League.
Oh man, you had to beat the dead horse.
It's
didn't
only
you?
I had to put it on here because expectation wise, it's freaking Justice League, and this is what I got. You know, I mean, the DC stuff is really just pathetic at this point. And Justice League, this should have been huge. I don't know. Looking at these heroes, I mean, to be honest with you, I was never that big of a Marvel fan. I always loved Iron Man, but branching out from that, not like the biggest Marvel fan, but the Justice League. I mean, these heroes were just fantastic, and they're all together. And the whole thing is just a giant mess of crap, and it sucks, and it's just a huge ripoff. And even with Joss Whedon coming in, couldn't even save it. I mean, in general, Zack Snyder came out strong, couple of films, and ever since has just been disappointing me time and time again. And I am so surprised that he has such insane fans that people are wanting to see his exact Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. Because I tell you what, it'll be far worse than the one we got.
I didn't make this one on my top 10 list or dishonorable mentions because I didn't find it as insultingly bad as you apparently did. Ugh. It was just your typical...
Expectation-wise, you don't think this was absolutely terrible? I mean, the casting of everyone is bad.
It is, but I wasn't expecting much. To me, the strangest thing of all of this, besides the storyline, a storyline that I couldn't really follow... I mean, that's the problem nowadays, these blockbusters. If you get a storyline you can follow all the way through, it's like a miracle.
The Marvel
movies.
That's the thing, though. But the Marvel movies do that. I think there are a lot of movies that actually do that nowadays. And this was a problem we had a decade ago. I don't know why the hell it's back, especially this year, but it is in a bad way where it's just not only we're not following the storylines, but clearly whoever wrote this fucking thing and then edited it and then shot it and all that stuff, clearly they couldn't follow this shit either.
It reminds me of Transformers 2. You know, you just brought that up when that kind of started happening, when it was just so unwieldy. And that's how I felt about the CGI'd mustache, the removal was so bizarre to me. That's all I really remember from the movie.
It does. It looks really weird. Yeah.
It's bizarre. It's a bizarre thing
that
happened.
It's a floating upper lip. I don't know. It's weird.
All right. So I'm going to go number three. And my number three worst movie of 2017 is The Dark Tower. Stephen King's adaptation that was terrible. Did you see this one?
I didn't see it. Mainly because I believe you. So I didn't see it.
Good for you. You had an extra hour and 40 minutes of your life not stolen by this piece of shit. I mean, I couldn't believe that they got this cast assembled, all these people and all the talent and all the time they've talked about bringing this to the screen, and this is what came out of it?
Do you, after seeing this, Do you have faith in the TV show?
I have no faith in anything to do with this. I don't want to do anything with this. It's unbelievable.
Did you read the books?
I've read a couple of the books. And at one point, I mean, the books get crazy. Stephen King writes himself into the tower. It's a strange series that doesn't necessarily need to be told. If they were going to do it like this, which is kind of the approach that Jumanji took, it's almost a revisionist approach on the material. I don't hate that about it. I hate that it fucking sucks. The movie's terrible.
I'm going to agree with you. I haven't seen it, but I feel the sentiment. I feel I feel the heat coming off your anger. And I like it. I like it.
What's three for you? What do you got in the third?
Three for me, which hurt me so bad as I watched this in theaters. It was an honorable mention for you, but Alien Covenant just did it for me. I almost killed myself, to be honest with you.
Is that because you like Prometheus just to be so done much? With this.
I love Prometheus. I was ready for the meaty, philosophical sci-fi story. And instead, what I got was fucking David playing flutes with himself.
That would have been more interesting.
This
like,
is
quite literally
so
than this.
Stupid. The whole movie's just mind-blowingly stupid, right? It thinks it's smart. It's not. And it pretends as if I've never seen a split screen before, you know, with Michael Fassbender interacting with Michael Fassbender. I've seen it many times. They did it in the 60s even, and it looked really good then. Why would I be amazed they do it now?
Why is Ridley Scott praised so much for his efficiency and quickness in working? It's almost like he's this Clint Eastwood of blockbuster filmmaking in a lot of ways. But when you get something like this, that's such a small story that is sold to you as this big event. This is not an event film. This is actually an art
house
movie.
This is much like I just throw back to Transformers. You know, Ridley Scott, Alien Covenant. It's like Michael Bay Transformers, you know, last night. Did they even direct these? Or did they just put their names on them and had some robot just like action cut, you know, because it just doesn't feel like there's any persona or energy from these directors being actually put into these films.
Yeah, it's well said. All right, what do you got in the number two spot? Let me get yours first.
All right, my number two is Star Wars The Last Jedi, which we just reviewed, so I won't do that again because, you know, I don't want to get too angry this episode because we still have to record our best of episode next. But yeah, this hurt me in ways. Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it.
Yeah, I'm going to agree. I put this on my number two spot as well. It could have been the first spot. It's not technically the worst movie of the year.
It was my number one until you reminded me of my number one.
Yeah, and I know what that is, and that didn't make my list. but it wasn't a good movie, what you're going to talk about next. But Star Wars, getting back to Star Wars, I think that the disappointment level here was so high that I had to put it this high on my list because I just went into this with the greatest – I just went in with such goodwill, and 20 minutes into it, I couldn't really believe what I was seeing. And I'm not some sort of Star Wars fanatic that, you know, because they didn't get this right, I hate the movie. I'm just talking about from a storytelling perspective and characters I know and things I know about these people. And I'm looking at the screen thinking, like, this is a kind of – I mean, there's very few series that have been going on this long in my life. The Rocky series is one of them. This is one of them. You know, there's very few things that have continued this many years. Indiana Jones, they do another, will be one of those type of things.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, when they don't do it right, this makes something like Crystal Skulls – look a lot better.
I know. You know.
Doesn't it?
No, I know. I made mention of Transformers 2 versus the new Transformers. I mean, I feel like we're just like this decade is such a weird decade. It's going to end so oddly because I feel like the rug's going to continually be pulled from underneath us. You know, I mean, how many times are we going to watch these Star Wars trailers and think, God, and then watch the movie and then go, I'm done forever. And then see a Star Wars trailer and go, oh my God, I got to see it. You know, I mean, if Solo turns out to be terrible, I'm literally going to put my foot down and not watch any more of these Star Wars movies.
I don't even know if I can go Solo. I think that trailer is cut very well, but I just don't think I care anymore.
You don't believe anymore?
They're not for us. I mean, it's been like that for a long time.
Who are they for? I don't believe that there's an audience out. Well, clearly there is, but God, I have to have hope that people have more of a brain than to watch a movie like Star Wars The Last Jedi and think that this is actually good.
Well, Kevin Smith does. So there's one person.
Yeah.
So you got to be a super fanboy to really enjoy this, apparently.
I guess, maybe.
It has its fans, and we are not amongst them. All right, brother. So let me hear what is your choice for worst movie of 2017.
My number one worst movie has to be Mother with an exclamation point. The Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem starring Darren Aronofsky directed giant pile of crap that is so transparent it's ridiculous, yet thinks it is somehow pulling some sort of a mystery, like, oh, what are we doing here? We're so intelligent. We've created the Bible, but in a form that you've never seen it before. Wait, can you guess what's happening? Ooh. And really the reality is that nothing's really happening. It's just this weird metaphorical nonsense that, as I say, is easy to spot and understand, and therefore boring, silly, and stupid. I will say fantastic production value. Great direction here and there. The acting, amazing. The movie, freaking terrible.
Yeah, for a movie that was has such a high pitch all the time, it was very boring. I didn't hate this movie outright, but I didn't like it either. But that exclamation point at the end of the title is definitely earned, because it is so – I mean, Jennifer Lawrence is at such a high pitch throughout this movie, but yet the whole tone of it is very lackluster. It's almost – you know, I hate to say it, because you never want to talk about a star's personal life, but you know, she was dating the director, and it's almost like they convinced one another that they were – this is such a brilliant concept, and it's executed for – it's so esoteric, but yet it's not – for this intellectual crowd, because it's very transparent, like you said. So anybody can see what you're doing here. You don't got to be a fucking genius to figure it out, but you have to be some sort of, you know, people. It's the kind of movie that people can get behind and say, I love that movie, because no one else will. You know what I mean? Well, it's one of those.
And it's also one of those movies that I think a lot of people understand it and then think that, oh, well, now since if I can understand this, I must be really intelligent. So yeah, okay, fine, whatever. Also, Jennifer Lawrence, I have to agree with you. I feel like, insanely, I was really into watching this movie, and I feel betrayed by her, because come to find out, what I was really being sold on by her was her infatuation and love, if you want to call it that, for Darren Aronofsky, and not, in fact, for this movie, you know?
Right. She took on a project that probably wouldn't have taken if she didn't know this person. And because of that, a great risky move as an artist – not a very pleasing thing to watch as an audience member.
All right. Hit me with your number one.
All right. The worst movie, in my opinion, of 2017 was a little scene film. I know we said we weren't going to do this, but it was released nationally.
Oh.
And it was from Blumhouse Production, which is usually a bunch of winners. And I'm not talking about Happy Death Day. I am talking about a movie called Birth of the Dragon, which chronicled Bruce Lee's encounter at his dojo in San Francisco in the early 60s with Wan Chu Man, this crazy martial artist that was sent over from China, who really wasn't a crazy man. He was this very peaceful person, and Bruce Lee is about the fourth most important person in his movie about Bruce Lee, and he comes off as a bit of an asshole, if not a total asshole, in this movie. And you really get sympathy for the guy that's supposed to come over and beat his ass, and then they have this fight that is totally mystical and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, when the whole movie is dealing with mobsters and like these really kind of like rough elements. It's so bad. It's a TV production with a little bit higher of a budget. The acting is shit all around, and the only person that is even charismatic is the guy who's playing Bruce Lee, and he gets zero screen time. I hated this fucking movie. I wish they never had made it. This encounter was a 3-minute segment in The Dragon, the Bruce Lee story in 93, and here it's been fleshed out for a 90-minute story, and it has nothing to do with anything. It's a total waste of your time, and anyone who is a Bruce Lee enthusiast is just to stay away from this. Watch some of the old movies of his instead. You'd be much better off. Horrible movie.
Well, fair enough. That's a surprise. And I don't think that your initial review was that bad. Was this something that set? Did this build?
Yeah, my disdain for it just picked up more and more throughout the year, when I kept thinking how bad that movie was and how just – fucking,
and you're really into those too.
I love that kind of stuff. But you know, I love those kind of martial art movies. This isn't that movie. Yeah. This is a drama about his student who's supposed to be Steve McQueen, even though they can't get the rights to call him Steve McQueen. So they call him like Steve or like Mickey or something like that. But he's supposed to be McQueen, and it's like it's all this weird like rights they couldn't wrangle, and they're trying to make this person. They just have totally focused on the wrong people and made a movie that isn't worth anyone's effort. So, bad all around, and I don't know how George Gallo got caught up in that because he is typically doing better work than this, so bad on him. Well, that's going to wrap up our worst of the year. We thank you guys for listening with us, and hopefully some of these films you avoided, and if you didn't, they probably ended up on your own worst of the year list. We'll be back next week with a best of list. Trevor's got 10 movies for you. I got 10 movies for you and a couple of honorable mentions format, just like we did tonight. So check back with us next week for the best of 2017. Until then, we are the Movie Mavericks. Speaking for Trevor Anderson, I'm Jason Rugard, and we are the Movie Mavericks.
Oh my, another magnificent episode has come to an end. If you're craving more, set your destination to MovieMavericks.com, Warp 9. Engage!